If you'd remain standing, please, for our scripture reading and in our praise song. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalms chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord, the host, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Gracious Father, we thank You for this day and this opportunity. May our hearts now be Yours, Lord. And may we be able to hear what You have to say to us. May Your Word become real in our hearts. May all that is spoken be Yours, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Any of you ever had a problem trusting what you see, what you read, what you hear, what you experience? Everything's not always as it seems, is it? Let me just show you this one thing I've got John there for. Now, okay, John, turn it off now. All right. There's two images up there, right? Did everybody get to see it?
No.
You didn't? Okay. John, put it up for about 2 seconds. All right, before you do it, I'll go ahead and give you the question first. Which vertical line, vertical line is longest? The one on the right or the one on the left? John, 2 seconds.
The one on the right?
The one on the left, somebody said? Somebody said they're the same. Well, the truth is they're both the same. Put it back up, John. The vertical line, the up and down line there, the one on the right looks longer. I mean, as you look at it, I mean, it's one of those optical illusion things. But the one on the right looks longer, but they're both actually the same length. Or so I'm told. I didn't get up and measure them. I guess we could break that down if we wanted to. But I'm more trusting what I've read so far. Even though sometimes you can't trust everything, right? Sometimes it's difficult to know who, what to trust. It's easy to be fooled by our sight, our senses, by people, by things. Psalm 46 that I've read to you this morning is a psalm of radical trust in the face of an overwhelming threat. Now, the specific threat that's being addressed here in this psalm is not identified exactly. But most would agree because of what it says in verse 5 and 6 and 7 there, I think, that it's talking about a war, that nations are uprising against the nation of Israel. They are about to go to war, and the situation doesn't look real good. The odds are against Israel. This psalm, any of you know the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? You know who wrote it? Martin Luther, I hear. Martin Luther was the writer of it. This is the psalm which he based that great ancient hymn on. And this psalm is divided into three parts as we look at it and as we study it. Three parts to this psalm, each of which acknowledge and celebrate God as our strength, our fortress. The first thing that we can celebrate, we see, is that we can celebrate God as our refuge even when creation, even when the very foundations of creation, the earth, the seas, and the mountains, when they shake and tremble beneath us. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 there, John, if you want to put those up. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. In whatever comes, it tells us, the Scriptures tell us, that He, God, is impenetrable. The words that are used there in that verse, He is a very present help in trouble, or a refuge and strength. They can be translated even more precisely as an undefeatable, impenetrable fortress, defense works. Something that can't be stormed and overtaken. See, in that day and time when this was written, the primary defense of a city was to build walls around it, to fortify the city, and to protect it from an attacking army. The walls were its protections. It was a fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, the hymn tells us. These words here tell us that, well, in that day and time, they also knew that there was no such thing as a fortress that couldn't be overtaken if the right tactics were employed with enough people and enough patience to wait out a siege. But the Scripture here is saying to us that God is our refuge and strength, that He cannot be penetrated, He cannot be overtaken, and not overrun. No earthly fortress is impenetrable, but our God is. It says also that He is ever-present. Literally translated, it means that help is to be found when you need it. Isn't that a good thing to know? Isn't that a reason to celebrate? That we can know, and we can, as we do this thing called walking with Christ, that our refuge gives us, our mighty God gives us reason to celebrate, because we know that in every situation, whatever comes, His help will be present. He goes on in that same passage there and says, no fear. There is no reason to fear. We will not fear, even in the very shaking of the things that are most foundational in our lives, like creation itself. There is a certainty and a reason to celebrate, because we know that there is no chance that God can be overcome. The very earth, floods, mountains. When you hear those things, it talks about the waters and the mountains. I think about creation, and I think about what God did in the beginning. You know, there was chaos. There were the waters and all of these things, and they were troubled, and God came upon them and spoke, and there was order, and chaos turned to order. Dry land and the sea were separated. The earth and the sky became distinct realities. In all the ancient cultures, there are stories of creation and the flood. Those are some of the things that are pretty much common throughout all ancient cultures. It's amazing how similar most of those stories really are to what's recorded in the Bible. In the culture, the Mesopotamian cultures, which were prevalent in that day and time, and the Jews would have known, been familiar with the stories that those cultures told, there's a story that's called the Gilgamesh Epic. Any of you ever heard of that? It's an ancient story about creation, the early days of the earth, and the flood. Well, now in that story, when it talks about the flood, it says that the world was destroyed by a flood when the waters were unleashed upon the human race, upon mankind, by the gods. And that the gods cowered in their abode, their heavenly abode, because they were threatened They felt they were insecure and thought that they were going to be overcome by the flood as well. In this psalm, there is no concern by the writer that God is going to be overcome by anything that comes our way or comes into this world. In this psalm, there is no concern about God's ability to deal with any issue that arises in our lives or in the church. The things that seem most stable and certain on this earth will fall, but we don't have to be afraid. We need not fear, because God will stand, and we can celebrate that. The second thing that we can celebrate here is that we can celebrate God as our refuge when earthly wars rage. Verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, first thing we see in those verses is a very tranquil place, a very peaceful place, a place where a river stream shall make glad the city of God. Of course, what he's talking about there, the writer's talking about, he's speaking of Jerusalem. It's the place where you don't have to worry. Because of what? Why does Jerusalem need not worry? It's because in Jerusalem is where the temple is. It's where the tabernacle is located. The Ark of the Covenant is present there. And all of those things are where God resides. The temple is where God is present. And Jerusalem need not worry, because God is there. And this God, this mighty God, this fortress, this mighty fortress, our God, will not be overcome. So therefore His city Jerusalem will not be overcome. Now of course the failure in the logic that's there is this, is that God does not occupy one specific place. He doesn't occupy just Francis Asbury United Methodist Church. He occupies all places where people come and call upon Him, whether it's in a home, whether it's in a mall, whether it's on the street corner. God occupies the space of the people that come together and call upon His name and fall before Him and call Him Lord. He tells us in this passage here that the help will come, and that it will come just at dawn. I know some of you are hunters and all. You go out early in the morning before daylight. You climb up in that tree stand, or you get out in the boat to do a little duck hunting. That was my favorite thing, favorite kind of hunting. Be out on the water. Have your decoy set out. You know, this is in January I'm talking about now. Cold. You know, it's always darkest. The saying is, it's darkest just before the dawn. Well, when you're out in the morning like that, you know for a fact that that's just not a saying, that it is true. Just as the before dawn breaks, it is the darkest and the coldest that it's going to be. And at that moment, at the moment in our lives, when it is darkest, when it is coldest, when things seem the most hopeless, helpless, the most despair that we can find, that is when we can be assured that God is going to be present, that He is going to be there as our earthly wars rage. Now, what are these earthly wars? Am I just talking about Iraq and Iran, the things that are going on in Egypt and Bahrain, as was one of the others, and the hundreds of other places, literally, that conflict is being happening on the globe today? Certainly, that's part of what it's talking about. These are earthly wars. These are things that affect us. These are things that come upon us and shake the foundations of creation and shake our trust and our faith. But there are much more pressing things in most of our lives than wars in faraway places, unless we have loved ones that are over there right now. There are wars that come upon us as people are opposed to us and what we do and the things we're trying to do in our life. There are wars raging in our lives as we battle issues within our families and see people struggling in their relationships where husbands and wives are at odds with each other and there's talk of divorce, where children and spouses, our children and parents are in conflict with each other and have no contact and have no relationship whatsoever. Where financial shortcomings threaten to take our homes, to force us into desperate measures. All of these things, these wars rage in this world in which we live. These very things are as destructive to our souls and to us individually as any armed conflict is destructive to nations and races. This psalm assures us there will be help if we are where God resides. Now, how do we get where God resides? Is it by coming to church? Well, hopefully God's residing here with us today. But it isn't because this is a church. It's because you, His temples, are here today and He lives in and through you. Let me talk about that being God being in us. I apologize for those of you that were here Wednesday night. You know what I'm fixing to say and what I'm going to talk about in just a second. We talked about God being in us. And us being in God, the difference. We need to be... there's nothing wrong with God being in us. That's a good thing. The more God in you, the better. But wouldn't it even be better if we were in Him? Now, why? Let's just take for an example. If I've got a bottle of water here, I take a swallow of water, I've got water in me, right? It's good. I take another swallow, it's good. But when I've had enough, I can push it away. I don't want no more. And God's kind of the same way. We can have God in us, Christ in us, and that's good. But when He starts making us a little uncomfortable, we can always say, that's enough. I don't want to do any more. I'm already on two committees at church. I don't want to be on three. Back up, Lord. Got enough of you. But now if we place ourselves in Him, just imagine standing on the pier, the dock of the bay in some warm tropical climate. Well, I might be there in a few days. I don't know. You step off into that water and it covers you completely. There's no escaping it. It covers every part of your body. In between your fingers and your toes and your hair. Being in God is a whole lot more thorough and consuming than just having Him in you. Allow God to bring you into Him. Be in God. This psalm assures us there will be help if we are where God resides. Be in God. The third thing that we can celebrate when we look through this psalm here is that we can celebrate God as our refuge even when His judgment comes. Verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Folks, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we pray, no matter how good our intentions are, no matter how much the United Nations or any other peacekeeping agency works, we, as human beings, through human efforts, will never, ever bring peace to this world. It won't happen with armed conflict. How many times have we seen the war to end all wars? Hadn't happened yet, has it? It's not going to happen. Only God can truly bring peace. God says, though, He says, be still here. In other words, He means for us to not just get quiet and be in a worshipful mode, but to cease and desist from what we are doing. Kind of makes you think about the military again, you know, as an example. Now, you guys that were in the military, when an officer walked in the room, somebody jumps up usually and says, attention, don't they? Isn't that kind of the thing that happens? And when that happens, you're supposed to stand up and be still, right? In the same place. In other words, your attention is now focused upon that officer and whatever it is, hopefully, I'm sure, good that they are going to say to you and instruct you in. This psalm is telling us to be still, to pay attention to what is about to happen. We don't like to think of God as being judgmental, though, do we? But we have to, folks. We have to understand this God that we serve in a whole picture as being a God who is righteous, who is holy, and who judges. That's His job, not mine, and not yours. But we have to see this part of God to get an understanding, an accurate picture of who He is. Now, this isn't a judgmental statement. And I'm not here to judge you, nor are you here to judge me. It's simply the truth of Scripture. The good news about this is this, that we are protected by His strength and His grace. He is our strength and our refuge, our ever-present help in trouble. He, God, Jesus Christ, is our refuge. The Israelites believed they were safe because of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. They believed that the presence of God was there. You and I, when we are in Christ, when we are in God, in His presence, we can celebrate because our mighty fortress cannot be overcome. What wars are raging in your life today? What difficulties are you facing? Is there any too big for our mighty God? None. We can celebrate. We can celebrate because God is our mighty fortress. Put your trust in Him. Make your home in that fortress. Amen. Father, I thank You for this day. The words that You give us. The Spirit that makes them real. And the blood of Jesus that covers all that we have done wrong. Lord, may You work in our hearts this day. May we celebrate truly because You are our fortress. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.